welcome to the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast with me, Nicole Sachs. You are here.
Hello, my friends. Happy day. It's Nicole, and you've reached my podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain, with me, Nicole Sachs. Love to be here with you. Today, I bring you an awesome interview with Karen. Karen is an OG. She sat in the Rusk Institute opposite Dr. Sarno, just like I did back in the day. And he was just such a character. It wasn't fun when you were in pain. He was rough when you were in pain. Like, you might have heard an interview I've given with my former client, Mouse, about when she visited him. But what he said to Karen was, you know, hogwash when she said, you know, all the physical manifestations of her pain and why she was so nervous that they were structural. And with Mouse, she was standing in his office and she said, "I'm sorry, Dr. Sarno, I can stand, but I can't sit. You know, my pain is such that I'm not able to sit." And he said, "Well, I'm not going to be able to help you if you don't sit down. Anyone can sit. Have a seat." And by the time she was done with her discussion with him, she had been sitting the whole time and hadn't even realized it, because it is not that the pain is in your head. It is not that you are making it up. However, because the nervous system is so affected by the messages it receives from us, we can't always will it, but we can in fact circumvent some of those pain signals in the moment for short periods of time when we are given no choice other than to follow the directives that either the situation or another person is presenting. So when he said, "Have a seat," you know, and he was such a person of authority, Mouse had to have a seat. And of course, if you know her story, you can certainly look her up on the podcast. She's been on it twice, I believe. She's totally symptom-free. She's amazing. So, and after like the craziest symptom story. So Karen's is not quite as crazy as Mouse, but Karen had migraines. She had back pain. And she still has the symptoms of persistent allergies. And we actually kind of delve into a bit of a real-time heal about that on this episode. So look forward to that. I just love hearing from you guys. I love talking to you. This is it, guys. This is the stuff. This is the point. You know, we are walking around living a human life, which is fraught, which is also full of huge, crazy joy and celebration and love and tears and all of it. We are here to feel big, but part of that means there will be difficult feelings. And if we don't know how to properly address them, they will send the nervous system into a protective state, causing chronic symptoms, pain, and other conditions. So just stick with me, guys. If you are new to this work, if you're listening and this sounds like complete, whoa, what the hell is she talking about? Go start with the first episode of this podcast. Listen to my story. Listen, understand my relationship with Dr. John Sarno. Hear the countless, at this point, I don't know the number of stories where I've interviewed other people from all walks of life. So just do that for yourself, or hop on over to thecureforchronicpain.com, my website. Click on the resources tab. I have retreat recordings for almost everything, every theme that can cause struggle in this work: perfectionism, people pleasing, boundary issues, inner child work. I even have a whole one on a deep dive about migraines, because migraines are such a persistent and common issue in this community. So go do avail yourself of those resources. And of course, finally, remember the promotion I am running as we prepare to go to the Omega Institute June 23rd through the 28th. If you would like to be entered to win a free session with me, everyone who signs up for Omega between now and May 1st is in the first group, just to lower the odds, to win that free session with me, personal one-on-one session via Zoom that we will do before Omega. And then on May 1st to June 23rd, we will start the second group. So if you would like to be eligible for that, go to eomega.org, click on the retreats, eomega.org and search my name, or go to the Care for Chronic Pain and click on the retreats tab and join us for 5 days at the Omega Institute. It will blow your freaking mind. All right, my loves. That's all for now. I send you the biggest light and love and connection. Enjoy this awesome interview with Karen.
Hello, everybody, and welcome. Today we're here with Karen. Welcome, Karen.
Hi there.
So happy to have you with us. Karen has a very, very interesting story and a long history, not only with my work, but with my beloved Dr. Sarno. So I have heard from Karen via email, but have never talked to her in person. And I'm so excited to have you on the pod. So Karen, as always, I'm just dying to hear your story and the trajectory and the way you found your way to this moment. So start wherever you want and let's discuss it.
Okay. So I'm back. And again, rein me in if you need to. So when I was 17, I woke up with a headache or an eye ache. I don't remember what it was. I'm 62 now, so it's going back a long time. And I remember it as clear as day. I lived on Furanols. Those were the drugs back in the days. And moving right along, you know, definitely had the childhood stuff. When I was in my I think I was 27. Now, I had been in therapy, but when I was around 27, I remember sitting at a restaurant getting a pain in my lower back. I remember it again as clear as right now. And I then went, you know, 3-4 years of the chiropractors and all that. And I remember saying to my therapist, I think that the rage I have is lodged in my back.
Wow.
I don't know why I said that. I remember it again so clearly. And I, 2 days later, I heard about Sarno. So it's kind of how the universe works.
Beshert.
And yeah. And Sarno, I called him. I remember that call. I remember going to his basement office in the Rutsk Institute. And I told him my story. So backtracking, my mother had committed suicide when I was 2.
Oh, wow.
She was very postpartum. She was suicidal when she was pregnant with me. I knew about her, but we never knew how she died till I was in my 20s, hence the therapy. And when I was 19 and my mother who adopted me, she woke up paralyzed. She had MS. So these
wow.
are, you know, clearly like were in my body. And Sarno asked me, and I remember he waved his hand. He said, "You're a typical TMSer."
Yep.
And again, I just knew and trusted his, you know, his confidence. And soon after his second lecture, it was around 1992, and the backaches went away, never to have returned. But as is the case with all of this, I had all the other symptoms. I'd call him every couple of months with each new thing. He would tell me what he would tell me, and whatever that pain was would go away. But I never quite, I didn't know to call him right away. It would have to be a month or 72 of like, oh, wow, I have this. Now, I remember telling him once that every migraine I had was upon waking, but I never thought it was part of this. And he said, that's because we're close to the subconscious. But it didn't really make sense to me. I went to Arlene Feinblatt.
One of Sarno's original therapists. Yes.
Yep. And I would call him with each new thing. The funny ones were, you know, when I had foot pain and the surgeon said, you must have surgery or you won't be able to walk. He said, hogwash, put your heels back on. The toe pain went away. So I remember a lot of his lines.
Yeah.
And, you know, once you were a patient, you were always a patient. So then when I met my now husband, I was 41 and I had horrible sniffles, which actually have come back, but none of these symptoms scare me because right. of what I've learned from you. So I went to a therapist for 9 years. And I remember he said, he always would say, what's going on in your life? And I would tell him, I'm finally moving in with the nice guy. And he said, happy events cause stress. And it's like nothing made sense, but I kind of just went with it.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, I started with a TMS therapist who he trained and worked closely with. And she was great and helpful. And I remember the words like hypervigilance and all the words I've learned from you and your community. And I then had hip problem. He was insistent I didn't need a hip replacement. Rauschbaum was on the fence. He's the doctor who took over Sarno's practice. So I had the hip replacement, no regrets, but still the headaches were the scariest. They weren't going away. I would remember that I cherished my one day that I had with my husband because of his work schedule, and I put so much pressure on that day.
Yeah.
So it was now December 2019, and I just, I heard of the movie All the Rage.
Right.
And that was it, because that's how I found you. And I just plowed through your podcasts, and it was, miraculous, just, what you're doing. And I learned from you how to self-soothe. I learned that I wasn't a freak. I learned, other people in this community, that was one of the most healing things. I wasn't alone, finally. And interestingly and not, I realized working, listening to some of your podcasts, that the first time I woke up with that migraine when I was 17, it was soon after my childhood friend had a severe brain injury. Mm. And I remember visiting her in the hospital, and she whipped off her headscarf. She was physically changed forever. And seeing what I saw was traumatic.
Right.
And I'm sure the headache that I got very soon after was that. So after I found you, I started finally putting into practice the things. And it wasn't necessarily so much journaling, but it was just the community and the not feeling alone and realizing, the migraine, I think, became learned.
Mm-hmm.
And I soon after, again, that I found you, my mother-in-law was dying. I went to visit her in Florida. And when I walked into her home, all the symptoms came back. But I, for the first time, had the tools, and I started experimenting, and it was working. And it was like, wow. You're not surprised, but, it's kind of just, it never gets old. And, you and there were maybe two or three other podcasts and or doctors that helped. But so this is where I am. And now it's been 4 years since I found you. And the symptoms have greatly dissipated. Last May, my stepson got a pretty scary diagnosis, and the allergies that I originally went to my therapist for came back full mm-hmm. force. But what I finally have learned is, you talk about the human pain.
Yes.
And I don't like freaking freak out. Oh my God, I've been sneezing and sniffling for 7 months, and I'm working with another therapist. So I'm putting all these tools, but I don't freak out anymore.
Right.
And, I sneeze when I'm irritated, and I laugh at it. I never know the tools I'm going to pull out.
Right. Right. So first of all, thank you for that. I love your story. I love that you're an OG Sarno chick We are few and far between these days. And it's really, really beautiful thing to remember going into that office at Rusk and sitting with him and how he said, that's hogwash. And, it's very dear to me. His daughter, Christina, is one of my closest colleagues. And we spend a lot of time together. We're about to launch a practitioner training this spring where we're going to bring this precise message to other practitioners mm-hmm. and people who want to carry the message. So it's all very exciting. But we've been doing a lot of reminiscing about Dr. Sarno. And you know what's such a bummer? I spoke on those alumni panels for years and years, and I have not one photo with him because this was before cell phones. And I was I was on a photo shoot yesterday for my new book and for my new podcast. And the photographer said, it's so funny. Before cell phones, no one took photos. It was such a big deal to show up somewhere with a camera in your hand. It was almost embarrassing. Like, oh, take my picture, and so I have no photos with him, which is really a super big bummer for me. But anyway, thank you for bringing him up and for all the things that I know you've expressed to me that my work has brought, to kind of add to what you learned when you were with him and when you understood it. But I certainly, not to shift this into a real-time heel, Karen, but yes. I certainly need to ask you about, you say, not so much journaling. And I know that, you know, for our generation, you're maybe one generation ahead of me. It's not easy to decide to do something like that. But let me ask you, are you resistant? Do you do it at all?
Well, so I love this because I, you know, fantasized about having a call with you and thought I could be a success story and a real-time heel at the same time. So I used to journal, and when I found you, and I had 40 years of the journals, and sometimes I would read back at them and it was like, ugh, the more things change, the more they stay the same. And it was depressing to read. And when I met you, I threw out 40 years of journal. When I met you, you know, when I started working with you or hearing, I threw out 40 years of journals. And I remember, I wish I had burned them and watched. Mm-hmm. So yes, I do journal. And the other thing I've learned from you, the intention I journal is very different mm-hmm. than previous. So that was the little nugget that helped me. And yeah.
So like, my question to you is, when you journal, do you feel that you journal speak? Do you feel that you're doing it with the energy that I teach?
Not always. Yes. But yes. But you know, it's like most people, and that's another thing that makes me feel good. I'm not alone. Everyone's resistant and hates it. I fight with the paper or the pen, or I write, I can curse here, right?
Of course.
You know, the fuck you over and over, and I tear the pages. And I've experimented with typing in my phone, writing. To me, so the reason you helped me over the year since I met you, it was like the little pieces of the puzzle came together. And one of the things was about journaling, and that it is the rage on the page and the saying the darkest things, but it's with the different intention.
Yes.
So yes, I don't do it daily. It is part of my practice. Yeah.
Okay. So I was just curious because when you said not so much journaling, my antenna goes up and I said, I wonder if she's like one of these super, super resistant ones, because we have as much to learn from people who are resistant as we do from people who are like, I do it all the time. I know exactly what's happening. I myself am one of the most resistant journal speakers you will find on this planet. And the way I describe it to people is your nervous system, your resistance speaks to you in your own voice. It's very wily. It says to you, oh, just do it later. It says to you, yeah, you'll do it. No, you'll do it just right after you get this thing done. And of course, however many things done, it's time for bed and it's time for the next day. It says to you, you don't know, you're fine now. You don't need it. You know, it's a little sniffle and, you know, like who cares? So all I'm saying is when we have resistance, it tends to lead to shame because we're like, oh, I'm a bad girl. I didn't do what I'm supposed to do. But the truth is resistance is just another form of TMS. Resistance is just your nervous system saying to you, don't look there. Don't go back to the way you feel about yourself. Don't go back to the way you feel about your husband. Don't go back to the way you feel about your kid. Don't go back to the way you don't really want to think about your mother. Like this is it's a backache. It's a headache. It's a stomach ache. That voice of resistance that tells you, ugh, whatever, it is the voice of your nervous system, and it is confused. And that's what I like to tell people and to share with you today, Karen, which is it's like listening to a child who is kicking on the floor for a cookie before dinner. You know, it's a very convincing argument and it's very annoying and it's very, it steals the focus from the entire room. But you know better. You look over at the child and you go, all right, baby, I love you. You'll have the cookie later. And you let them finish with the kick. And after the dinner, they get the cookie. When the nervous system kicks and says, don't look there. And it's so crafty. It takes your own voice and it whispers in your ear. We are empowered to pause. You know, my favorite thing, the 80s tape recorder, you press the pause, it stays down and say, I hear you. I don't care what good ideas I have right now. I'm just going to pause. It takes 20 minutes of my life to do this activity. And if you need to do the meditation after 10, a half hour, and I'll be done. And then I can go do everything I want. And I will tell you, I have to, I mean, think about it. I am doing this now for 20 years plus, I mean, 25. And I still need to have these conversations with myself because I'm just a human being with a regular nervous system, just like anybody else. So anyway, if that is helpful to you.
And again, this was another, I think about, you know, I was a Sarno person. I was in therapy. I was crying. I was dealing. I had the trauma. It's like, ugh, already. But what helped me was, okay, even Nicole, you know, gets mm-hmm. it. And you shared your story about your father and your children and just, you know, my therapist, you know, I think it's changing, hopefully, was not as forthcoming about her life. So the fact that you share, that was another real huge healing for me.
You know, I'm glad. I have a very long history of fighting to share because the psychotherapeutic paradigm is boundaried in a way that I think is too strict. And of course, a therapist is never here to share their problems with you and is certainly never here to burden you with the discomfort of their big feelings. However, self-disclosure, in my opinion, is such a powerful tool in therapy because it levels the field, right? Yes. It shows you that I'm no different than you. There's no superiority here. It's just like we're two human beings, you know, going through it.
Exactly. I mean, it was huge help. And, you know, I never knew Dr. Sarno had a child, a daughter. I've seen you two on Instagram Live. You two did.
Yes.
So, I mean, anything Sarno, you know, there was no one before you. You know, there were no podcasts.
Right.
So I used to say, what am I going to do when Sarno dies?
I know.
You know, and so it's like, I'm so grateful for your community and
it's truly like, I love that some people complain about the internet, but I'm like, yeah, but look what it's done. I reach people all over the world.
The only reason I stay on Facebook.
Yeah, exactly.
And yeah. And I mean, it just a never ending. I could just go on and on bubbling over about this work and you and yeah.
So just, Karen, if we were to shift gears a bit, because we do have a little time and kind of move this into the energy of a real-time heal, which by the way, is going to be unpredictable for both of us, which is why I love it. Where do you struggle? What do you think you could use for me in this time we have together?
Oh, this is great. Just, you know, when I get the symptoms, I mean, here I've been, you know, I've known about this since 1992. But, you know, in May when these allergies, sniffles came back, I remember you and Dr. Sarno's daughter telling me you had a patient or you knew a gentleman that sneezed for 20 years straight or something, or sniffled.
Yes.
But I beat myself up and, you know, just, you know, the symptoms are information.
Yes.
But, you know, the journal speak sometimes feels like, oh, I don't want to fucking do that.
Right.
You know, or other therapists, like, I just want to, I mean, you know, I used to say I want to be this meditative yoga practicing, I guess, robot.
Right.
You know,
wow.
I mean,
yeah.
So it's right. And when the hard times, when I first found you, it was 2019 and 2020, I was working at home. So I was finally away from a very toxic office. Mm-hmm. So that helped in my symptoms coming down. But when real life hits hard, you know, armoring ourselves, you know, just knowing that when it comes, it doesn't have to stick.
Yes. Yes. So I'm hearing you. So what you're saying is you've got a lot of the mindset. You've got a lot of the tools in place. So what I'm hearing there be a little trouble with is the third leg of the stool, which is patience and kindness for yourself. Right? So it's not the believe leg of the stool and it's not the do the work. I mean, everybody struggles with the do the work. And so you got it. You know your own number. You know when you're resisting it. But the patience and kindness – which can also be, if you want to add all the words, forgiveness and acceptance. Those can be very hard. And one thing that has helped me under the topic of self-disclosure is that I used to also want to be the yoga, peaceful, bastion of telling people like you are just okay as you are and I yes. can be okay as I am. Yeah. So I can say it and I can mean it, but there is a part of me that doesn't want to hear it. And this is what I will say to you, Karen. The biggest thing I have ever done for myself in terms of patience and kindness and self-compassion is said, here I am. Here I am, this unique bundle of Nicole Sacks. And I bring to this world what I bring. And you know what else I also bring? A lot of neuroses, a lot of anxiety. I struggle to sleep to this day because my mind will not shut off. I tend to continue as much as I try to reflexively lapse into perfectionism and people pleasing. And I have to constantly remind myself to draw it back. And then when I have to remind myself to draw it back, I shame myself. Jesus Christ, aren't you done with this by now?
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So what I've decided in the space of all of that is, here I am, this incredible thing that I am, just like you are, like all the different factors that go into being a human being. And this is the part that I think is really important, and it's never going to change. Now, some might hear the phrase, it's never going to change, and think, but Nicole, that's so negative. What do you mean? Of course I'm capable of change. But that doesn't matter. What you are capable of at some point, at one point in your life, is not material to me in this moment. What matters to me in this moment is who you are at this second. Because, as often you'll hear me say, if we want to change, we need to radically accept what is. Because transformation begins, the Danielle Laporte quote, transformation right. begins with the radical acceptance of what is. We cannot transform when we are trying and wanting to be something else. Why? Because urgency and desire to be different than you are is read by your nervous system as fear. And as soon as your nervous system hears the fear, right? As soon as your nervous system hears the fear, it sends the symptom. Why? It's trying to protect you. So tell me how this is landing for you.
So I feel like I have to drive myself. I thought I was got this over with, but hearing you now, I didn't. I feel like if I don't drive myself, so as I started, my mother committed suicide. And when I found out in my 20s, I felt like Meshuggah, crazy.
Yeah.
And I felt picked on and mocked, and I can't be crazy. And so I fought to not be crazy, or, now I call myself Meshuggah or wacky, and I'm okay with it. But again, I worked in an office that was just mocking and, such like, I'm going to shame me before you do.
Yes, yes.
And adverse, and instead of, I used to be very extreme, and also learned through your podcast, just rein it in, Karen. And so I still need work. That's why you do what you do and I don't in this area, because it's like I almost feel like I could cry. So that's a good thing.
Yes.
That how do I not drive myself? And just, when I meet others and I think, oh, they're a little neurotic, I'm like, wait, I'm not so crazy after all. And just the self-acceptance, I guess.
Well, yeah. No, I hear you. I want to latch on to one thing that you said. So your mother took her life when you were a baby. You didn't know it. And now you find out in your 20s that this is the case. And the concept of crazy, the label we give to mental illness and the terror that a child would have by attaching that label to oneself because of what happened and you learned about your mother. That's big stuff, Karen. That's really big stuff. And then we have to look at what we label crazy in this society. I can hear in your voice you're a New Yorker. I am a New Yorker.
Yes.
We come from the same culture. We come from the same background. And those of us can be a bit neurotic, a bit high strung, a bit urgent, a bit expressive. And you know what? That is who we are. And I would tell you that the most wonderful thing you can do for yourself is say, that's my brand of crazy. And it is beautiful.
Love that. That's my brand of crazy.
Yeah.
Love that. Yeah.
And it also makes you a bucket of love. And it also makes you the kind of person that I haven't mentioned this, guys, but the reason I was featured on Maria Menounos's show and on Michaela Peterson is because Karen, among others, but I'm sure she was leading the charge, was writing to them incessantly about me.
Yes, incessantly. And I wrote to another Drew Pruitt about Dr. Schubner recently, and he happened to have been on. So yeah, I'm, you know, you're my, like, I could scream it from the rooftops.
But that's part of your beauty, and that's part of your brand of crazy. You know,
yeah, I love that.
I mean, those of you listening to the podcast know Lisa, my partner, and she and I have the same thing we say about each other. We're like, well, you're crazy, but you're my brand of crazy, and I love you, you know? And like, if we can start talking to ourselves in that way and start to lighten and break down the barriers between ourselves and what we fear to be. And it's not quite the same as I'm going to make fun of myself before you make fun of me. It's bigger than that. It's like, here I am, and I don't always like it, but it is part of the whole. It's part of the reason I am the impact that I am in this world, you know?
I intellectually relate to that, but even as you're saying it again, you know, the fact that I could feel like I could cry is probably a good thing.
Yes.
And just showing me where I need to work.
Yes.
And you know, I thought of something else went out of my brain. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it'll come back to you. My feeling is this. When we talk on Real Time Heals, or when you hear something on the podcast that resonates with you, what I like to say is it's like the X marks the spot on a pirate's map. Now you need to dig, right? The X marks the spot is just an indication of where you need to look, but the digging is next. And I would really invite you, Karen, following this episode, whenever you feel like you have time, to sit down, get quiet, and say, why did it feel emotional when Nicole was talking about accepting myself, when Nicole was talking about tapping into my brand of crazy and making it a superpower, when I was connecting that to the fate of my mother? You know, like, how can I be curious, gently curious about this, you know?
I like this, gently curious, right? And when I did find out about my mother, I was very detached from it. And I called all my friends like it was gossip. Everyone in my town knew. I went to sleepaway camp. Everyone in the camp knew. So, I mean, even in college, someone out of the blue said to me, I heard your mother committed suicide. I'm like, what? I was at Boston University. And so when I found out, it was like, I was so, even my therapist said, you smile when you tell me.
Right. So it's like it's a defensive posture. It's a defensive posture.
And I felt unloved when I found out because she left me. So it took me a long time to, interestingly enough, when I woke up from my hip replacement surgery, it was the first time I had compassion for her.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's interesting. So all of this stuff is such great X marks the spots for you.
Yeah.
And another thing I want you to do for yourself, is your only symptom imperative the sniffly, the allergies right now?
You know, funny enough, today my hip started hurting me. It hasn't hurt. I mean, I had a hip replacement. But yes, the sniffles have been several months.
So by the way, it's very normal for people to get symptoms on the day they're going to be on this podcast. I hear it all the time. I've already heard it, by the way, once today. So you are not alone. And it is just simple, boring TMS, like I say, you know, just like it's showing up and it's knocking on your door to say, hey, do you need protection? You're going on a podcast to talk about this stuff. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to just hold the intention that these sniffles and whatever, you know, little hip pain or whatever symptom is popping up, the whack-a-mole that's popping up, you just hold that intention of, I'm turning over a new chapter. This is not a new complete book. This is a new chapter in my book. I've talked to Nicole. I mean, I know you've corresponded with me for quite a while via email. So we're actually speaking, seeing each other and spending time together. And so allow it to be a page where you turn and say, I'm going to rededicate myself in a different way, in a gentler, softer way. There is no one else I need to be. There is nothing I need to change, actually. And that's a real revelation.
That sounds so foreign.
I know.
To me.
I know.
Yeah.
And wow. Honestly, yeah. I'll tell you something. It sounds Pollyanna, but it is like base truth. Like I can't, it's like almost like gritty when I say it. You know, I think some people like, oh, there's nothing you need to change. You're perfect as you are. That is not how I say it. I say it like, this is the fucking stuff. This is like you and who you are and like what makes you this like unique person in the world. It can't change. It won't change. It's part of what you bring.
Right. And again, I know, you know, it serves me in my business.
Yeah.
You know, my people love me and I feel it. And my husband, just life. So there is part of me that loves it and embraces all my wacky whack.
You know, stuff. You might want to do, how much inner child work have you done, Karen?
Probably not enough.
I would, do you know how to do it? Do you know about my inner child work?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll even sign up. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I was going to say, if those of you want to learn something more, there's an inner child retreat recording that you can just watch. You can download, purchase from my website. It's not expensive. And you can just, it's 2 hours of like the core inner child work.
Just
so you can like really get a sense. Cause there's no way we could talk about it on a podcast now. It's too much.
Right.
But what I would like you to do in the paradigm of inner child work is it's going to be painful. It's going to be hard. So you're gonna have to really hold yourself very gently and with a lot of self-compassion. I want you to go like lay next to your 2-year-old self in the crib. I want you to ask her, you know, tell me what it's like.
I have a picture of my 2-year-old self behind me. Yeah.
Just lay with her and have her do the talking. And if she doesn't want to talk for the first few days, you lay with her. And when she's ready, I promise you she'll talk and she will speak. She will speak about being the child of a mother who took her life. She will speak about that to you.
Do you literally like you picture yourself doing this and you speak out loud when you're by yourself and...
It's a combo. Like I said, if you watch the retreat, you'll see full, like, you know how I teach, like one by one, like the directions, it's all there. But basically what it is, just to summarize, is, and also, by the way, there are podcasts, like you can look in the podcast. I've talked about this on the podcast. But you are going to envision her, and not only her, because it's a daily practice, many different versions of yourself. And if you really want to spend time with it, what I do is I do the journal speak practice for it. So like I'll give you an example. I'll give you a story. When I was – when my son was in 7th grade, I just read the what I wrote about this in the book because I'm looking at the manuscript and it's in the book. When I was in – my son was in 7th grade. He was not invited to a birthday party. And so he came home from school on Friday, told me all his friends were going to be at this birthday party. He wasn't invited. And you would have thought that I was hit by a truck. Like you would have thought that I had the flu. I had no energy. I was hit by this crazy fatigue. I got a headache. I was so down. I was like, Jesus Christ. I kept checking in on him. And he was like, you're so annoying. I'm fine. And I knew it wasn't really about him, but I could not connect to it. And that night, I could not go to bed. I was really distraught. And I was like, okay, Nicole. I'm like, you're too good for this. I'm like, this pain feels like it's too big to be about what he's going through. And I took out my notebook or my computer at the time, I don't remember. And I said to myself, Who is hurting? And I just immediately, myself in 7th grade came up and what it was like for me. We had moved from New Jersey to Florida. I had no friends. I felt so alone. My parents were going through whatever they were going through. My grandfather was dying. He came to live at our house. Like there was a lot of stuff going on. And I just said to her, What's it like to be you? What's it like to be you? What's it like to live in your house? What's it like to be with your parents? What's it feel like to be in your body? You know, seventh grade. Right. I told her, I'm not going to tell you it's going to be okay, because I know you don't think it is and it's not. And I'm not going to tell you what you should do. I'm not going to give you advice. I'm literally just fascinated by you, and I would like to know what it's like to be you. And I let that girl speak, and I wrote for 20 minutes her words to me. And I, Karen, my hand to God, I closed my computer, my notebook or whatever, and I was like a new person. I felt, first of all, physically fine. And second of all, I thought back about Oliver, and I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, he's not a victim. He's resilient. He was left out, and he's downstairs talking to a camp friend and playing video games. Like, what's wrong with me? It's not him. It's me that needed the care. Okay. And I will tell you, that work can be incredibly powerful.
Wow. Yeah. No, and I forget. And then I get mad at myself. Why do you forget? You have these tools. But that's why I have you and other people in the community to help remind me and snap me back.
And also, Karen, honey, don't get mad at yourself, because that's also the nervous system. Right. When you, quote, forget you have these tools, it's because the nervous system is throwing up like flares and saying, don't look over there. Don't look over there. Oh, my God. 2-year-old lost her mother. No. But you know better, right? That nervous system is just the child kicking on the floor with the cookie. Like, we get to pause. We get to remember. And every time we remember, we get stronger and we get more able to do this again and again.
Right. I know it's fascinating and beautiful and scary, and one that's being a human, I guess, too.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. All right. Well, listen, this has been wonderful to talk to you. Is there anything else you wanted to say or ask?
I know. I feel like I'm so fangirling, you know, like I'm so smitten. You know, I'm never speechless, believe me. This is just, this work is everything. And to be 60, almost 63, and feel better than ever. And, you know, part of that is when I have the symptoms, it doesn't scare me. I don't freak out. So even if I'm sneezing for 5 hours, like, it's all okay.
Right.
But I still feel like a success story. And I'm just so grateful to you and this community and all the things.
Well, thank you. And you are a success story. You know, we're all works in progress. Nobody here is cured or better or healed or over or finished. But we are, if you can live without fear, if you can rededicate yourself whenever you are inspired to do so, that is living in the freedom from chronic pain world.
Right. Exactly. I want people to feel hopeful, and I'm so grateful for the community you built, and just thank you.
You are so welcome. All right. Well, everybody out there, if you are enjoying this podcast, please jump over to iTunes and rate and review it. Helps people like Karen, people like me, people like you find the podcast. Karen, again, thank you for being here. This has been The Cure for Chronic Pain with me, Nicole Sachs, and I'll see you then. Bye-bye.